Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Tuesday, April 7th of 2020. Again, as I said yesterday, it is Holy Week, the week of Easter, in which we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. It's a powerful week. It's a big week for Christians. It really is. And so it's great. I'm so glad that you've chosen to join us tonight. Right now I'm having to charge my phone, so I'm not using that. But so glad that you made that determination. Join us tonight. My prayer is that you will get something out of this. In Jesus' name. Can you make sure the heat is shut off? I'm hot.
What?
Can you make sure the heat in here is shut off? I'm hot. Yeah. It's like the temperature skyrocketed out of nowhere, didn't it? You're kind of feeling warm too, aren't you? Thoughtlessness? I mean, but that leads me to something I was going to say, listeners. That is, got warm weather today and tomorrow. We do have a severe outlook tonight. Enhanced risk of thunderstorms that could be severe. Risks including hail, wind gusts 60 miles an hour and higher, and cloud-to-ground lightning. A small tornado chance cannot be ruled out. This generally is for Midland on south and east. So that includes where I am at, which is down in the Detroit area. And here's what I have to say about this. I want a nice power-packed thunderstorm, but I don't want all that hail and super high wind in that. I just want a big, classic, lots of thunder, decent amount of rain, thunderstorm. That's what I want. I'm saying this to make sure that you guys have planned the place to go in your house should a tornado warning be issued. Some of your listeners may remember about a year and a half ago, I actually had to suspend a show early due to a warning that had turned out to be canceled literally like 3 or 4 minutes later, because when I hear a warning like that, that says tornado warning, when you do, you should be the same. Do the same. Go somewhere where there's not windows on the lowest floor of the building you're in. Wherever that is. Like, I know where I need to go. Where I'm at. It's a small place, but it'll do. Obviously, you want to be near, away from doors and windows. Find that safe spot. But I'm going to let that go. And I will say, tomorrow, though, looks beautiful. Highs in the lower 60s. partly sunny. Thursday, though, is when we start to pay the piper. Highs in the 40s. And stay there for most of the weekend, including Good Friday, Saturday, and then Resurrection Day. Tonight, as I had said, I'm going to talk about the five times Jesus shed his blood. One of them was the one we read in Luke, where the sweat is like drops of blood falling to the ground. And then there's other places, which I will mention when the time comes. Praise the Lord. And then tomorrow night, I'm going to give you the seven sayings on the cross. I remember several years ago, Pastor took a couple of weeks and he was home for like 3 weeks on end, and for like literally the 3 weeks, that was the year, believe it or not, that you went to New Mexico during Easter time, but you had streamed all those services, and he was totally going through everything like within those couple of weeks. Remember, Mom? The seven sayings, that was the first time I had heard him preach that one. He's done it at least one time since, three Easters since that one. And then this one, which would be four. But I love it when he teaches it. And like I said, I'm so glad that Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood on the cross for us. Songs that Andre Crouch and the crew did about the blood of Jesus. Actually, three of them, all of which were on a cassette that my mom used to play in the car about 20 years ago, I want to say. Yeah. You remember that cassette? It had like three different songs, the blood of Jesus. One of which was "It Will Never Lose Its Power." Another one is about "I Don't Know Why Jesus Loved Me. I don't know why he came. I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he did. So glad he did." And along with a couple others. "The blood will never lose its power." And also, that one that could also be a Thanksgiving song, that "To God be the glory, to God be the glory, to God be the glory for the things he has done." And there was some great songs on that album. I forget what that was called, but it was great. And so, I don't exactly know what that album is called. It might have been Andre's Best Hits. I don't know. But it was good. There was also a couple of songs that talked about soon we were going to home to see the King. "Ain't Nobody Love Me Like Jesus," "It's Gonna Rain," Jesus is the answer for the world today. I don't know what that album is called, but there were a lot of great songs on it. And I remember when I was sitting there in the car, I was like 10, 11. And I may not realized it then as much as I do now. There's more to me now, even though I haven't heard it for many years. And one of them is like, through it all. Through no matter what's going on, through it all, through all the trial, through all the tribulation, I've learned to depend, to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. Yes, I've learned to depend upon His Word. And in a time like today, and I know it was that might have been made in the 70s or the 80s or whatever, but the Word of God, you know what I'm convinced of? The Word of God never gets old. The songs of God never gets old. They don't. They don't. No, they don't. In fact, I've seen a lot of quite a few contemporary within the last 10 or so years songs, you know, 10, 12 years. But also, a lot of the ones I sing were like from like the 1990s, and some few of them are before that even, because I believe the songs of the Word of God never get old. They just... just that my mom said that she never gets old. but to my mind, it's just this thought. Oh, and another one I was thinking of. Take me back. I want to go back, Lord, to where I first received You, to when I first believed. So I was talking about having that joy when you first accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, whenever that was, whether you can remember it or not. Now, in the case of me, I was a very little guy going through tons of stuff with surgeries and the like. It was a very dark hour for me. I'm talking about that I gave my life to Jesus. That for me was an extremely dark hour. I was dealing with all kinds of surgeries, all these different diagnoses, all that, and I decided I was giving my life to Jesus because I found out at a young age that Jesus was the answer. And that's why I have chosen not to leave Jesus. And whether you went through a lot or a little, just because you might not go through as much as someone else doesn't mean you don't need Jesus. Jesus isn't just for those who have went through a lot. And you go through a lot either way. It's like how much of a lot, you know what I mean? Regardless of what you're going through, Jesus has the answer, regardless of what it is. It doesn't matter. I mean, God cares, but ultimately, God loves you. He cares about you. And so, he really does, and that's why I was just saying a lot of these songs and that have really ministered to me, even though many of them I haven't heard for, some of them I haven't heard for almost those 20 years. But when I think about it, I just go, wow. Wow. That what you heard then and might have only heard ever once or twice since and have that much of an impact later. And back then you might have thought it was just good music. You just go, wow. And you still get the same result. Wow.
Wow backwards.
Well, you get wow too, and same thing. Yep, same thing. You get the same thing. Wow. You really do. And, but so, before we do anything else, I'm going to do what we've been doing these last few weeks, taking authority over this virus. I'm going to give you real quick the list of those things we're supposed to pray for. Number one, we're calling the virus dead. Number two, we are cursing Quran, stupid, whatever you want to call that demon behind it that is causing all this fear. We're cursing that. Number three, we're praying for the economy, that it'll come back and great and quick. Number four, we are praying for our leaders in government. Number five, we're praying for our health care providers, doctors, nurses, everything else involved, everyone else involved. Number six, this is one I added last night, our pastors. Because with it being Easter Sunday, I can just imagine. I feel like it, and I know we're doing our best. At least we're going to try a parking lot service, but it might not be the same. If we couldn't even do that, I think Pastor's heart would be extremely hurt. Can't even do that. If I was a pastor and I was in that shoe and we couldn't have it even in the parking lot, oh man, I'd be like, thank God I'm saved. I'd be like, thank God I'm saved. Because Easter to a pastor is one of those highlight services of the year, the way I look at it. And it really is. And it's about the spirit behind it. I wasn't going to say anything about the crowd attendance and that or anything about ego. Because the highlight of Easter should not be, oh, by the way, the church was packed. No. And even if it is, if it's not, what about the power of God? What about the fact that Jesus died on the cross for us, that he shed his blood? What about all that? What about the fact that death was arrested and my life began? What about all that? And so, and of course, about all the ham and the potatoes and the cheesy potatoes. What does that have to do with the service? Nothing. Just had to get that off my chest. Yep, like Dr. Buckley would say, just got to get that off my chest. So, we're going to pray. Heavenly Father, I come before you right now tonight. We honor you, worship you tonight, Lord God, wherever we are, in our houses, whatever we're doing. We curse this COVID-19, I call this COVID-19 dead. It bows the knee before Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I command that this thing is dead. No more cases. No more deaths from it in this state or any other state in this country or anywhere else. I curse this virus. It is dead. I come against this demon that is behind it, this Quran, stupid. I curse that thing. You are bound, is bound. Pray that in the name of Jesus, that you will turn this thing over on its head once and for all. And you will cancel out all the plans of the enemy. Because I know I've heard some things that I don't have liberty to say, so I will not say them. But think is that whole plan will be turned over on its head by you, Jesus. And I give you praise and honor and glory. And now, Lord, I thank you for our governors, that you show them what to do. May they lead and not just pay attention to these doctors, but may they be leaders, the leaders that you called them to be. President be the president. Let the governors be the governors. The mayors be the mayors. Show them your wisdom. Show them your plans. And I take a minute right now, Lord God, to pray for these, that you would bless them. Bless all the doctors, all the nurses, all the emergency medical technicians, all the ventilator people. Just bless them. Show them what to do. May patients have a chance to give their life to Christ. I thank you for souls coming out of this thing. And Lord, I thank you for our pastors, these pastors around America and around the world. Thank you that you're comforting them. You're strengthening them to be who they're supposed to be. I thank you that you would make yourself known to all of these people. And I thank you that you would move on their behalf and heal their hearts. As many of them will not be able to have in-person church on your resurrection day, Jesus. I thank you that you're comforting these pastors. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. And amen. I'm sorry. I was just checking to see how I was doing on time. But I want to encourage you to please tell others how they can be a part of the show. The best way to be a part is to call in. The number to call in is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that number is 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompt. When you hear the prompt that says to call into a live show, press 1. Go ahead and press 1. You'll be taken to a call screener. I'll be informed that we have a caller. And then we'll go from there. Now, I want to sing you a couple of songs about the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus. I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus. I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. I'm thankful for there's power in the blood of Jesus. There's power in the blood of Jesus. There's power in the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. There's healing in the blood of Jesus. There's healing in the blood of Jesus. There's healing in the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus. I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus. I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus. Because it washes white as snow. Thank you, Lord Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Are you washed in the blood of the still cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are that you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Yes, Lord Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood shed for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for everything that you bought and paid for as a result of your spilt blood. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that for these listeners tonight who have made it a point to tune into this program to learn about you, about and everything you've done, everything that this represents. And I just thank you that they would learn something tonight from this message. In your name, Jesus, we pray. And now, Lord, I make my confession over this program. I thank you that souls are being saved and set free as a result of this great program tonight. Healings are taking place. The captive are being set. Chains are broken. Blind eyes are seeing. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that sponsors and partners are coming in, that finances are coming in, increases in listenership are coming in, and most importantly, souls coming into the kingdom of God as a result of this great program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen and amen. Amen. Matthew 27. Open your Bible to Matthew 27, please. Thank you, Lord. Once again, that is Matthew 27, because I'm giving you time to find your spot. You know what? Go to 26. Let me see. We'll go to back to verse 17. So Matthew 26:17 NIV. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, came to Jesus and asked, "What do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I am going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.' So the disciples did as Jesus had commanded them, prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus was reclined at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, 'I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me.' They were very sad and began to say to him one after the other, 'Surely it is I, Lord.' Jesus replied, 'The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me is the one that will betray me. Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born.' Harsh, but that's what he said. Then Judas, the one who would betray, he said, 'Surely not I, Rabbi.' Jesus answered, 'Yes, it is you.' While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks to his disciples, saying, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And they took the cup, gave thanks, offered it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all you. This is my blood of the covenant, is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of that fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom.' when they had sung a hymn, they went to the Mount of Olives. And then Peter predicts Jesus' denial. First, that we're going to skip that. I'm going to 36. Yeah, that was it. That pause was just in case you had to turn the page. I didn't have to because. But then Jesus went out with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, "Sit here while I go and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. He said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet, not as I will, but as you, your will be done." Then he returned to his disciples. He found them sleeping. "Could you men not keep watch with me just for an hour?" he asked Peter, "so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it's not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away again, and he prayed. Turned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near. The Son of Man is betrayed by the hands of sinners. Rise, let's go. Here comes my betrayer." Are we 47 now? While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived with him. It was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal for them. "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him." Going at once to Jesus,
"Greetings, Rabbi,"
and kissed him. Jesus replied, "Father, do what you came for." Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' disciples reached with his sword, drew it, and struck the servant of the high priest, cut off his ear. "Put your sword back in its place," Jesus said to him, "for all who draw the sword die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But now then, the scriptures be fulfilled and say it must happen in this way." That time Jesus said to the crowd, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come out with swords and clubs? Every day I sat in the temple courts." Turn the page. "Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching. And you didn't arrest me there? But this has all taken place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. And then I'm going to skip past then. The hot, finally, two came forward and declared, "This fellow, I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days." Then the high priest stood up and said, "Jesus, aren't you going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you?" But Jesus remained silent. The high priest said to him, "I charge you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied. "But I say to all of you, in the future, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One coming in the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "He has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need any more testimony? I mean, any more witnesses? Look, now you have heard the blasphemy. What do you think? He is worthy of death," they answered. Then they spit in his face, struck him with their fists. Others slapped him and said, "Prophesy to us, Christ. Who hit you?" 69. Now Peter was sitting in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. "You also were with Jesus of Galilee," she said. He denied it before them all. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. Then he went into the gateway, where another girl saw him and said to the people there, "This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. He denied it again with an oath. I don't know the man." After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, "Truly you are one of them, for your accent gives you away." Then he began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, "I don't know the man." Immediately a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, "Before the rooster crows today, you'll deny me 3 times. Went outside and wept bitterly. Early in the morning, all the chief priests, they led him away, and they handed him over to Pilate, the governor. When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was set purpose and returned with 30 silver coins to the chief priests and the elders. "I have sinned," he said, "for I have betrayed innocent blood." "What is that to us?" they replied. "That is your responsibility." So Judas threw the money into the temple, left. Then he went away and hanged himself. The chief priest picked up
the coins and spoken by Jeremiah the prophet to the people of Israel, and they used them to buy the potter's field as the Lord commanded me. Now this is him before Pilate. Which one do you want me to release? And then verse 15. Now it was the governor's custom at the feast to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas, which is where the crowd had gathered. Pilate asked them, which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ? For he knew, it was out of envy, that they had handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was still speaking on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message. Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him. The chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. Which of the two do you want me to release to you? Barabbas, they answered. What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ? Pilate asked. They all answered, crucify him. What crime has he committed? Asked Pilate. They shouted all the louder, crucify him! Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere. Instead, an uproar was starting. He took water, washed his hands in front of them. I am innocent of this man's blood, he said. It is your responsibility. All the people answered, let his blood be on us and our children. And he released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged, handed him over to be crucified. A little more, and then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him, put a scarlet robe on him, and they twisted together a crown of thorns, set it on his head in his right hand, and knelt in front of him, mocked him. Hail, King of the Jews, they said. They spit on him, took the staff, struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe, put his own clothes back on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. Then there's the crucifixion. This is where he is crucified. Well, as they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon. And they forced him to carry the cross. They came into a place called Golgotha, the place of the skull. There, they offered Jesus wine to drink, mixed with gall. After tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots. Sitting down over him there, already All of his head, they placed the written charge against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews, in caps lock. Two robbers were crucified with him. One on his right, the other on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads, saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." In that same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, the elders mocked him. He saw others. They said, "We can't save him. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe with him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him." And he said, "I am the Son of God." In the same way, the robbers who were crucified with him also heaped insult on him. The death of Jesus. This will be the last passage I read, and then we're going to talk about what happened. The ninth hour, and then this is the death of Jesus. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all of the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani?" Which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran, got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." When Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook. The rock tombs broke open. And the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs. And after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who guarded Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were, "Surely he was the Son of God." Many women were there watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, Jesse, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. And then that's the end of for tonight. Now, several different times Jesus shed his blood. Five of them. Number one, sweat was like drops of blood. That's in Luke, where he is sitting there praying. And then he starts to, and he's sitting there in agony. And as he's praying, he sweats blood. Next, the whipping post. He goes to the whipping post. He's whipped. Blood's coming out.
every one of those lashes, not something, every one of those stripes. Then he went to the Golgotha with the skull. He was beaten there again. And then he had the crown of thorns laid upon his head. They put a crown of thorns on him, put him in a robe, they insulted him, and then, and listeners, you got to realize something. People used to go back in the day to watch crucifixion. It was like a sport to them to go watch people be crucified. Remember, Mom, Pastor saying that? People used to go there and watch people do it like it was sport. So how disgusting is that? That'd be like this big this Colosseum with some several hundred people in it, and they'd all be, you know, watching a human. I don't know why they would want to watch that in that day. Why would they? Even now, why would they want to? But they don't watch it now. They don't watch it now. But in that day, in that place. But then we talk about the whipping post. Then they were in Mark 2 and in John. 5 different times he shed his blood. 5 of them. One of them is that, like the first one I said. He sweat drops the blood. Not the whipping post. And then when he was nailed to that cross. He was nailed to that cross, listeners. Nailed there. And then in the Mark version of this whole thing, Jesus cries out, "My God, forgive them. They know not what they are doing." They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. The reason they didn't know is because they didn't know Jesus. Now, Judas, he knew exactly what he was doing. He said, like, "Hey, Rabbi," and then betrayed him right after that. Yep, he betrayed him with a kiss, like he did in Luke. By the way, just like he did in Luke, as we studied last night. He did the same thing in Matthew, which we read tonight. Peter, I told you last night, listeners, about how he had betrayed Jesus. In fact, called down curses on himself the third time he denied him. He later went on to write all these great books towards the end of the New Testament, just like Paul. One of the great reverends of the New Testament era. Mind you, both of them Peter had followed Jesus most of the time before that, but he decided to deny. Judas, as we said yesterday, you know, in the text we read tonight, we realize instead of repenting for who he sinned against, he repented for who he sinned with and had returned all that money. It's dangerous to just repent for who you sinned with and not who you sinned against. because then you're not admitting the whole thing. And that's not true repentance. True repentance means you turn away and don't do that stuff no more. And you repent to who you sinned against. You got to repent to who you sinned against. But you see, every time he shed his blood in all those different places, all those different places where it was at, the whipping post, at the skull, at the crown of thorns, the sweat, all of that, everywhere the blood was shed, he was buying stuff for you and me. He was buying deliverance. He was buying freedom from our sin. He was buying healing. He was buying prosperity for us. He was, and all this great stuff he was buying for us. Though there's these pastors, you know, by the way, God's going to deal with the user-friendly church. I'm so glad they're about done. I'm so glad they're about done. Because I didn't go to one. Thank you, Jesus. But God's about done with them. I'm so glad that he's about done putting up with them. Because they have watered down the word of God so far, for way too long. And by the way, they'd be like, it's okay to get drunk as long as you don't get drunk, and all this kind of stuff. Oh, and by the way, they would also teach, oh, it's under the blood. Here's the thing, they're missing something. That does not give you the right to live in sin. Did not die so we could continue so that we could sin and still be okay. He didn't die so we could sin and still be okay with God. No. Nope. I can't find a place for that. Not in my Bible. Jesus died so we could live in freedom, so we could live in deliverance, so we could live without shame, without pain. What do we do for him? He was put on that cross, shed his blood all those times. He ended up being crucified and arrested for what? For loving you. For what? For caring about your soul so much. And what do we do for him? Now, and when you do things that God does not approve of, and you just choose not to repent, it's like you're spitting in his face. And you can't be doing it. Because that blood covenant made it so that when we do sin, whenever we do, the Bible says all men have sinned. All have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God at some point. All have. That is not a verse that gives permission to. It is an admission. But he said, when he shed the blood, when he died on that cross, it bought freedom from it. So that we could just come to Jesus now and repent. And tell them that we're sorry and turn away. Because before, if you sinned, you had to kill the animals, sell all these certain things, go buy that certain animal from the flock, present it before the altar. Yeah, you find the altar, where is it? You have to deal with your GPS that's not working. Oh, they didn't have a GPS back then. That's right. But they had to go through all that trouble back then. Just try to be in good standing with God. Now, when Jesus died and shed that blood, it was a covenant between us and God. And Jesus is our mediator. As the girl put it, he's our mediator. Jesus appeased God's anger. Is that a good way to put it, Mama? He appeased God's anger. Because it does say in Psalm 5:5, God is angry with the wicked every day. But it says all that different thing Jesus said, get away from me, you evildoer. But Jesus appeased God's anger. And come to him. And even if you've kind of walked, even if you've kind of walked away, you can repent to him. If you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, you can come to Jesus. Give your life to him. It's not too late. The day is very short. Oh, and now we know for sure, is it, boy, oh, is it ever short. We don't know the day or the hour that he's going to come. That we do know. We don't know the day or hour that he's going to come. He's going to come when we don't expect it. That's exactly what's going to happen. He's going to come on a day and an hour that we don't expect it. That is one thing I know for sure. But like I was saying, he made a way for us to come to him. We can talk directly to Jesus. We can come before him, accept Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, which is the only way. Jesus is the only way to heaven. There is no other way to heaven. None. None. At all. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, and you die without accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you will go to the lake of fire and burn forever and ever and ever and ever. And I don't want that for any of you. You say, why are you sounding so bold about it, Paul? Because I don't want you to go there. I don't want you to go to hell. I want you to go to heaven. I want you to be able to stand there in front of Jesus and hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. And Jesus is going to ask me when I go to heaven, who'd you bring with you? I hope for sure, I pretty much know this, but I hope that he doesn't say, why didn't you bring anybody with you? And me have to say, well, I derelicted my duties. I didn't bring everyone I was supposed to. I don't want him to say, I don't want to have to tell him that. Do you? Good. That's why. It's so important. And if you do know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you should win souls. It's one thing God called us all to do, is to be a soul winner. Jesus said in Matthew 16, the Great Commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. By that he meant human. He didn't necessarily mean the dogs, the cats, the kangaroos, the owls, the penguins, the birds, the people. Zoe. Oh, I don't think they made doggy heaven
that Latin behavior. Yeah, I don't know, doggy. I mean, works. It probably works based on behavior. But Jesus looks on the heart, and he looks at whether or not you knew him. And something else. But anyhow, I care about your soul. I want you to make it to heaven. I want you to make the rapture. Because after the rapture happens, if you're still here, you won't want to be here after the rapture, because the 7 years of tribulation will begin. You may say, well, Miracle Man, are we in the tribulation right now today? It might be a tribulation, but we're not in the 7 years yet. I know we're not in the 7 years of tribulation yet. We're not. Here's how. The 7 years of tribulation come after. They come after the rapture. You will not want to be here after the rapture. You will have to make a choice. After the rapture, you will have to make a choice. Do I choose to A, deny Jesus? They'll line up Christians. I mean, they'll line up Christians, and they're going to ask them the question. Sir, are you a Christian? Yeah. Over here, we're going to shoot you. And then you'll die, and you'll go to heaven. Are you a Christian? I don't know what you're talking about. You know what? After that, you will go to hell forever and ever and ever for denying Jesus afresh. Yeah. Do you know what Peter did there? You won't make heaven. You won't make heaven. Now, Peter was able to repent, and he was able to do great things with you through Jesus. Great things. So you repent. Time is short. Every minute I sit here, time is getting shorter. And we are in the last of the last days, whether you think so or not. We are. Jesus said you will see the signs becoming even more pronounced as the time comes. Jesus said that. There will be wars and rumors of wars. Yep, we got that going on. Famines and earthquakes in various places. Yep. They will be. Yep. All these different things. And you'll see getting more wicked as the day draws near. Yep. But he said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit among them. Hallelujah. And I just know there's going to be a revival in the kingdom of God, like we haven't seen it ever. The amount of souls that's going to come into the kingdom of God is going to be huge. Prodigals are going to come home big time. There's also going to be a lot of new converts. And you have a short chance, listeners, to be part of that and to choose to come into the kingdom of God. Whether you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior before, but you quit living for him, or maybe you had been living for him for a while, but you just haven't been like you should be, or maybe you're that type that has never accepted him as your Lord and Savior at all. You can call into the show, and I can help you. I want to see you make heaven so you can stand right there alongside Jesus, and you'll just be able to stand there and hug Jesus and eat a donut beside me. A nice big one at that. One the size of your face.
Yeah, yeah. Some of you might say, well, Miracle Man, don't you think there won't be any food in heaven? Well, yeah, there will be sugar in heaven. Dr. Buckley said. Yes, I think there'll be sweets in heaven to eat. But ultimately, I care for your soul. I want you to make heaven. And about every one of you. If you're not right with God, you need to get right. And stay right. Don't be living for yourself anymore. Don't be living for the devil. Because that's not pretty. For the devil will hurt you. Big time. And you don't want to be doing that. You really don't want to be doing that. Now, say this after me, listeners. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into me. Come into my life. Make me new. Make me like you. Show me how to be like you. I want to be changed. I want to be delivered. I want to be free. So, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I repent for being my own God. And I repent for living my own way. Come into me now. Fill me now. In Jesus' name. Yes. You want to know something? When someone gives their life to Jesus for the first time, or when somebody decides to give, to repent, and rededicate their life to Jesus Christ, something real cool happens. The angels in heaven throw a huge party. And they just have a big celebration. Because there's more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 people who are righteous and don't have any need to repent. Because they've been doing it the right way. Living for Jesus. Now, Lord, I thank you for this word tonight. I thank you, Lord God, that these listeners would get it inside of their hearts. At all these times that Jesus shed his blood and what all it means. I thank you, Lord God, that your hand would be upon them. That you would bless them, strengthen them, heal their bodies, heal their minds. Just make yourself well known to every one of these people. And I just give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. And until next time, folks, God first, God always. So long, everybody.